Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Well, thank God for Wee Mac, as they call him, the curly-headed hero of Hollywood, who has wiped out all the tariff talk and the trade wars for a couple of hours anyway. Rory McIlroy from County Down, believe it or not, he's only 35 years of age. And for a country that, let's face it, has harboured a fairly cynical view of this young man for many, many years now, we're fierce sneaky all the same, covering him in adoration this morning. The Masters 2025 is his title, and he could not have made it more interesting, even if you've zero interest in golf. Right across the Irish Sun this morning, Glory McIlroy is the name on him, punching the air after on the 18th. And Rory's masterpiece is the Irish Daily Star headline, the Irish Daily Mirror, Grand Master. And that's a picture of him screaming at the sky and on his knees. And on the sports section of the Irish Times, McIlroy completes his Grand Slam on a day of incredible drama at Augusta. And he's in tears in that one as well. Never mind writing him off several times last night. We were writing him off on Friday morning after the terrible end to his first round there on Thursday, including himself, by the way, because of course he left the course without speaking to the media. And by Sunday last night, he had achieved his life stream. 24 years of age when he last won a major. Many believe he was the next Tiger Woods in the making, that he would reach the same 14 major wins as Tiger had back then. Tiger would get to 15, but instead Ormac would try and fail and try and fail over and over again for a scarcely believable 11 years. And of course, there would be lawsuits and tabloid wallops along the way, and that took a big toll on him. There was the infamous switch to the nightclubs in a deal worth millions, and people blame that on his career slump. But in the period in between, he got married, he became a dad, and he made about 200 million. But the money wasn't everything, and you could finally understand that when you saw that unparalleled reaction on the 18th overnight, falling to his knees and sobbing into the very beautiful sods of Augusta. And the other pros lined up to congratulate him as well, not least Shane Lowry, who had stormed out of an interview actually on Sunday because he was sick of people asking about Rory when he was still in contention himself. But it wasn't for him. We were watching the Offaly man very closely because all of this elevates everybody in golf across Ireland. And the other pros, they all lined up because Rory McIlroy was a very well-liked fella on the crazy circuit, from which there appears to be no retiring at all. And Greg Allen, as you heard, he's been reporting on it like Rory is the Pope and Greg is the one last one true great believer. He's the only man whose love of Ormac has never diminished since the very, very start through those major wins. There was the US Open at the beginning, the PGA, then the British Open, then the PGA again. That all happened within 3 years, and then the 11-year drought until now. And if you listen back to Morning Ireland later on, you'll hear that full interview one-on-one between Greg Allen and Rory McIlroy after the victory. So he's completed that Grand Slam. The last one anyone joined the club was Tiger Woods a quarter century ago. And remember that Rory got into golf from watching the Masters at the age of 7. Tiger was the winner. And you fast forward from 1997 and Tiger Woods tweeted just a few hours ago, "Completing the Grand Slam at Augusta is something special. Your determination during this round and this entire journey has shown through, and now you're part of history. Proud of you," says Tiger to Rory. That he puts him just one major away now from equaling Nick Faldo's 6 major wins. And you'd back him to do that now, would you, and go further. And Faldo himself said, "I've never been put through the ringer of emotions like that in the commentary box. So pleased for Rory McIlroy, proud to have known him all these years since he was a whippersnapper in the Faldo series." And I know there's people in the west of Ireland as well where he was an amateur and he won it as a kid. Adam Sandler, star of Happy Gilmore, and there's a sequel coming out in July, so he's across the internet. He posted photographs himself with Rory from actually, I think, a couple of months ago. He said, "Way to go, Grand Slammer. We all love you, buddy. Love, Happy." Also, Rory McIlroy has played golf with Donald Trump many times and they're on friendly terms on the course. The president was on Air Force One last night when the press were asking about everything going on. "And did he see the majors?" "Of course he did," said the president. "It's his favourite sporting show on TV ever." And he sent this message to his golfing pal.
"Well, I have to congratulate Rory. That showed tremendous courage. He was having a hard time. But it showed great guts and stamina and courage. People have no idea how tough that is. And came back. be proud. But actually, it's better for him that it happened that way, because that showed real courage. To have come back from what could have been a tragedy was amazing.
Amazing. It was amazing. Now, Rory McIlroy wins. Wasn't about the money for him, but he does win $4.2 million for coming first in the Masters and getting that green jacket after. He doesn't get every bit of it. Obviously, some of it goes to his agents and, of course, to his caddy, which is a great story in itself. His childhood friend from Hollywood, Harry Diamond is his name, reputedly gets 10% of the winnings. Very, very close mates. He was best man at Rory's wedding to Erica Stoll in Ashford Castle in 2018. Remember that glittering occasion? Stevie Wonder performed at the reception. And Harry Diamond could have been a pro golfer himself, but he gave it all up to be on the bag, as they say, for his friend, caddying with his pal. He's a very quiet fella, does not do interviews himself. A few hours ago, Rory was asked about his caddy, Harry Diamond.
Yeah, I've known Harry since I was 7 years old. I met him on the putting green at Hollywood Golf Club. We've had so many good times together. You know, he's been like a big brother to me the whole way through my life. And to be able to share this with him after all the close calls that we've had, yeah, this one is, you know, just as much as it is mine.
Very emotional. It means everything to him. And Rory McIlroy's inner circle are a lot of childhood friends and people he grew up with in school, which is very important. Of course, when they ask about his parents, it's Rosie and Jerry McIlroy, everything they've sacrificed through their lives for their only child. They were not in Augusta, so it'll be a few days before they get to greet their young fella again. The young fella who famously, of course, used to chip golf balls into his mammy's washing machine. Here's Rory last night.
Yeah, there was a lot of pent-up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And but, you know, a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it. And I want to say hello to my mum and dad. They're back home in Northern Ireland.
They made a lot of sacrifices for you.
They did. And I can't wait to see them next week. I just can't wait to celebrate this with them.
Wow, what a reunion that's going to be. And earlier on the course, he was talking, of course, about that's his parents. He's a dad himself now and young puppy.
My family, my team, they've been on this journey with me the whole way through. They know the burden that I've carried to, you know, come here every year and try and try and try again. And the one thing I would say to my daughter, Poppy, that's sitting over there, never give up on your dreams. Never, ever give up on your dreams.
Don't stop believing. Remember he sang that last year, very, very, after he won the Zurich Golf Classic. Not a great singer. He's better on the golf course. Enda McNulty is a sports psychologist. He worked with Rory way back, former All-Ireland winner himself. Enda McNulty, good morning to you.
Lovely to talk to you. How are you getting on?
Not so bad at all. Were you watching last night? Of course you were.
I think everybody in the country was watching. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
I think we're all buzzing. I'm a wee bit groggy. You can probably hear from my voice. But I thought it was just amazing.
Psychologically, this is an extraordinary achievement.
Extraordinary, Oliver. I think that the biggest part about this was that he didn't play his best golf on Saturday. He played some of his best golf, on Sunday. On Saturday, he played some of his best ever golf. But I think his resilience on Sunday was just incredible. Hanging tough, staying in there. The grit that he showed, especially after not dropping that putt on the 18th. I don't know anybody in the world who wouldn't look at that and say, from a resilience and grit point of view, it was incredible, Oliver.
Just keep collapsing and coming back. I mean, it was just, you wonder, you were worried for him. If he lost that, there was no real coming back, was there?
I agree with you, Oliver. How would you come back from that? The good news is he doesn't have to think about that for the rest of his life.
That's right, yeah.
That's the really good news, Oliver. And I think it was just amazing. Those interviews you just, listened to or broadcast there are just incredible. The emotion in his voice, the vulnerability in his voice, isn't that what we're trying to get all men in particular to show more of vulnerability? So I think as a man, his real character shone through, Oliver. I could try and pick perfect words, but Rory picked the perfect words there. The vulnerability they showed, his love for his mum and his dad and his wife and his wee girl, Poppy, I think those words just show the character of the man, the steeliness in him. And I'm really proud from this island that we've got a guy who's such an ambassador. And I loved his words there, Oliver, that you just broadcast. Never give up on your dreams. What a lesson for young kids. What a lesson for everybody in the Irish diaspora right around the world. What a man.
It's extraordinary. When did you last work with Amanda?
About 10 years ago. I think I can't remember if it was before or after the last Masters, to be honest with you. Got to know his agent very well, a guy called Sean O'Flaherty, who should never be underestimated. He's a very important member of Rory's team. Nice. Got to meet Rory and his mum and dad up in their house in Belfast. And what I was struck by was their humility. What I was struck by, their integrity, and more than anything else, Rory's ambition and hunger to improve.
It's a very close circle he keeps around him, isn't it? It's a small little hub of very close friends he's known all his life and people who've supported him the whole way through, and he's never changed it.
Well, that piece there about Harry Diamond, and he's known him since 7 years of age. There's not too many people in professional sport at that level still working with somebody they met at 7 years of age. Michael Bannon obviously needs a big call out. His mum and dad have just been amazing, working two jobs to be able to fund him playing golf. But also, I think that the big thing that he really, really tapped into at the weekend was his fans. Mm. He was amazing at tapping into the energy of his fans in Augusta. Probably he did a better job on that at DeChambeau. DeChambeau's energy to me seemed a bit false. Rory was dead cool, dead calm. He harnessed the energy from his fans, but in a much more focused way than DeChambeau.
He's worked with you. He's worked with a lot of people in psychology, hasn't it? And then this Bob Rotella guy is obviously going to be massively. He's going to be in demand. Yeah. Well, he is in demand anyway.
He's in demand anyway. So he's, I guess, the best mental coach in the game and very, very famous for that, and rightly so. So the work that he has done with Rory and that the other team around him have done to make him more resilient, it is just incredible. I think he's tried everything with everybody, which is always a good sign. Yeah. But at last, all that work has paid off. And it's paid off in the biggest stage of them all, probably under the most pressure of all, which is always the indication of the great performers.
It's. I was reading this morning about that he's gone through hypnosis. He's gone specialised breathing techniques, all the tapping, all of the tricks he's tried. Ultimately, what do you think does it for him in the end?
Well, I think it's the accumulation of all of that. It's the accumulation of what he's done since he was 7 years of age in Hollywood. It's not one thing, Oliver. It'd be nice to say it's one big thing. Yeah. But it's the accumulation of those thousands of hours of not only practice, but deliberate, perfect practice. It's all the defeats that he turned into victory. I remember reading many years ago an old performance coach speaking about defeat may not remain defeat. They can lead the pathway to victory. So he used those defeats as pathways to victory. It's just an incredible example, again, of that resilience and that grit. I'm so happy for him and his family.
Brilliant. Armagh won the All-Ireland in 2002. You were part of that team, Enda. I couldn't let you go now. Ulster Championship underway. What are the chances?
Who's going to win the Ulster?
Who's going to win Ulster? Never mind the All-Ireland.
Well, it's some contrast, Oliver, going from talking about Augusta into who's going to win the
Ulster. Is it, though? I mean, it's all psychology, isn't it?
It's all psychology. Yeah. I totally agree. Isn't it brilliant in Ireland? We've got all those things to look forward to. If I was a betting man, obviously you'd have to go either Donegal or Armagh. Yeah. I think it's who wins Ulster is irrelevant. It's who wins the All-Ireland, Oliver, and that's really exciting. Monaghan, as you know...
It's never relevant who wins Ulster. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's who's going to go for the All-Ireland, I think, is a big thing. I think Armagh would like to win the Ulster this year, of course, because of last year.
Yeah.
But if they win the All-Ireland, I don't think they're too worried.
Not at all. No, not at all. All the chat is about Donegal. Enda McDonaldy, we let you go. Thanks a million for that.
Oliver, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Not at all. Good luck. We're staying with Hollywood. By the way, Paul McGinley, as well as his reaction, he says, aside from his brilliance as a golfer, this was a human display of resilience and old-fashioned doggedness as much as anything else from Rory. The game needed this. I think that's an important point. And the boy, Rory has earned and deserved this. And of course, Paul McGinley was the captain on that Ryder Cup duty in 2014, which is the year that Rory last won the major, but no more. It is now 2025. So I'm joined on the line by Craig Mayers, who's the principal of Sullivan Upper School. That's where Rory went to school. That's in Hollywood. The schools, of course, are off for Easter, just as well, I say, because they were up half the night. Good morning to you, Craig Mayers.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Not at all. It's I'd say there's a fair buzz around Hollywood this morning.
I'm sure there is, Mark. Everybody be incredibly excited and incredibly proud of what he's achieved.
Remind us when he went to school there in Sullivan Upper School.
So he was at Sullivan between 2000 and 2005. Oh, so he was in school for 5 years.
You must have plaques and rolls of honour and everything along the corridors.
There's actually an incredibly prominent picture of Rory when he visited school after his open win in 2014. There's a very nice picture of a youthful-looking Rory clutching his claret jug, and there was great excitement in school then, I can tell you. We're really hoping that he'll visit again with his green jacket.
He's so baby-faced in those pictures in 2011. I was looking this morning.
We've actually got one in school where he's even more baby-faced. As a 12-year-old, he helped our school win the Ulster Schools Cup against one of our great rivals, Belfast Inns. And he's sandwiched in a picture. He won it for us between lots of other older boys, and he looks tiny in the picture.
That's the one you really hold, the cherish more than anything. What's this about the school already gave him a green jacket? What's that about?
So the school has an honour system for which for things like music and sport and great achievement. Normally it's only sixth formers that can achieve that, but Rory actually achieved that in 2011 for his golf. So it's actually the second green blazer that Rory's achieved. We're incredibly proud of him.
That's a more important one. You've only joined the school in recent years. What have you heard about his days in school?
We've heard that really his passion was absolutely for golf. Our school's vision is really that each pupil finds their passion and fulfills their potential. You know, if that's geography or guitar, French or fencing, for Rory it was absolutely golf all the way. He played a lot of golf even when he was at school. I think sometimes for schools, if you've got a prodigiously talented youngster, there can be concerns about how much they're missing school, you know, to play his golf. I think it's fair to say Rory settled that debate now.
Absolutely. I mean, he's already said he's going back to meet his parents this week, which itself is unusual because golfers, they don't do homecomings, but you never know if you could get, I'm sure you could round up some of the lads. Everyone watching from the local golf club, is that right, from school?
They absolutely were, yes. A lot of our sixth formers last night were actually on the media in Hollywood Golf Club. They were wearing their green blazers.
On the BBC.
Thankfully well behaved, Mark, from what we could see from the picture. So they seem to be having a great time, and I'm sure this will inspire the next generation.
That's
as well.
That's good. Well, enjoy every bit of it, and you'll have to make space on the wall for another fresh photograph, hopefully in a green jacket.
We really will. We're incredibly proud. We're incredibly proud of him. Thank you very much, Mark,
Thanks
for having
so much.
Me on.
Good luck, and enjoy the holidays. Care. Enjoy the Easter break.
Thank you.
That's Greg Mayers there in Sullivan Upper School. And we must mention St. Patrick's School as well, where he went to at primary level before he goes to Sullivan. So that's in Hollywood. And they have a great crack there. You couldn't correct anyone from Hollywood. Nobody's calling me Mark, but that's okay. Another Mark is on the line. Mark McCrory. He's the owner of the Dirty Duck pub in Hollywood. Good morning, Mark.
The Dirty Duck, as famous and said by Nick Faldo. Unbelievably.
It's as what do you say? As famous as Nick Faldo were?
Well, no, it's Nick is obviously, Rory brought Nick down to the Dirty Duck.
Ah, lovely.
So that's
lovely.
Obviously one of the reasons why I mentioned it in there.
Back in the
fantastic.
Days that the golfers could go to the pub, but sure, none of them go anymore. They're in the gym. You played golf.
Rory,
go on, sorry, yeah?
Rory's father was a very, very renowned public and our barman around Hollywood.
That's right.
And so I was a young fella that bought a pub in Hollywood, and Jerry helped me out a lot, giving me the right idea, showing me the ropes. About how to run a pub. And then Rory obviously got to know him, played a lot of golf when we were young. And when Rory was very young, when he was 13, I started playing golf with him.
Uh-huh.
And then when they decided that they would help establish Lochearn Golf Resort, Jerry taught me into buying a house down there. So that's where I met Nick Faldo with Rory. We played golf down at Lochearn Golf Resort. And at the opening of it, Nick had designed the course. So, never mind all that. Didn't he put us through hell last night?
Oh, my God. But the Dirty Duck must be doing well if you have a house in Lochearn.
Well, the Dirty Duck does all right. We won the Restaurant Association of Ireland Best Gastro Pub in Ireland.
Ah, for God's sake.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've been about a bit, and we do nice food. And that's where Rory and Harry would, when they come over.
Yeah.
One nice thing about us, we've got little nooks and crannies, or even a Rory's nook in the pub. And they can come in and sneak away and have a private wee nice bite date and a relaxing time. Nobody really bothers them at home because they know what he must go to all the time.
Does he get home often?
Not as often as he used to. He used to be home quite a bit when he was started off.
Yeah.
But I think now, obviously, his life is based in America now, so
yeah.
You can't expect him to be back as much as he used to be. But he used to have great Christmas parties. When he lived in Ballygowan, just up beside Belfast, he bought a lovely house. and he built a golf course outside of a small six-hole practice area. But he had great Christmas parties up there. He used to invite us all up, and we could go and have a pitch and putt and also have a maybe a small glass of something warm.
When you were playing golf with him at 13, could you spot the genius?
Oh, well, no, at 13, he was out driving me. He'd cut down Titleist driver, and we're playing Hilton. And if anybody knows the Hilton Golf Club and just outside Belfast, the second hole has got a bunker 216 yards off the tee, which I put my drive into, thinking I was playing off single figures, and Rory at 13 came off his feet and cleared the bunker by 20 yards.
My God.
So he always had great talent. He was born to play golf. And all the images you see whenever he was chipping golf balls into washing machines, he lived and breathed it. And Jerry's dad was so good with him, so good at encouraging him, but not forcing him. And then Colm, his uncle as well, was a great golfer. They're a great golfing family. And Hollywood Golf Club to grow up and play in was so welcoming as well.
Not pushy parents. He seems to be a bit of a character, Jerry.
Jerry is a character, yes. Yeah. But he's a man that knows how to be a host.
Right.
He worked in bars and he was always a manager. He was always there in charge. So he's a great host. You know, he knows how to put people at ease. He knows to say the right thing. And he's a twinkle in his eye. Jerry's always had a twinkle in his eye.
More than 10 years ago, we were used to seeing the parents alongside there. And I thought it was interesting they decided to stay at home and watch it from Northern Ireland.
I know. I was quite surprised as well. Now, they've been living out in America as well for a while.
Right.
And I know that there was the brother, Colm McIlroy, his daughter got married recently. So they maybe came home for the daughter for their niece's wedding.
See, interesting.
So maybe that's why they were home, and maybe stayed on a little while. Rory's been at the high end of golf, at the sharp end for so long. He's been in so many big competitions.
Yes.
I don't think Rory and Jerry's nerves would have stuck that.
Oh, sure.
Because there've been just so many that he does just like it.
Oh, this morning, I mean, they must be in a hoop after the tension of last night. It was just unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure Hollywood is absolutely dead this morning because everybody was up to 1 or 1:30 in the morning watching this, and it's exhausted everybody. The excitement will start, I would say, this evening around the place, and we'll see a lot of people celebrating. There'll be every shop and every pub and every restaurant will have their pictures of Rory, their signed photographs of Rory. He's very good like that. I've got a signed hat with Rory and Sir Nick and a nice wee Roy's Corner with signed photographs and signed bits. He's very good at that. He's very good. He knows where he comes from, and he comes and he would give back to the community by, you know, making sure everybody's got a little signed bit of him so they can put up with the one.
Lovely.
So he's good that way.
So he might be in his own booth again before the week is out. You never know.
Well, he said last night he was coming home.
Yeah.
For a week. So I know that the USPGA is going to be in Quail Hollow, which in Quail Hollow, you have to fancy him at Quail Hollow. He's won there a couple of times. I think it was his first ever win, which we watched down in Golfer and Lock Resort, and when he won at Quail Hollow for the first time. So, like, it's great memories for him there. So he'll go to there very confident, I would think. But hopefully he'll get back for a short time before he goes.
Yeah.
You never know.
There's no off-season anymore. That's the trouble with the golf.
Well, that's it.
But listen, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the week, Mark McCrory. Thanks for the chat. And good luck
Cheers
to everyone
now.
And have a lovely time in Hollywood.
All the best. Happy Easter.
Same to you. That's Mark McCrory, owner of the Dirty Duck Pub in Hollywood in County Down. Porrick Harrington as well, reacting. What a relief. Some drama. Well deserved, I'm sure. All the sweeter for the year's waiting. Indeed it is. Come back. We'll go straight back to Rory McIlroy and his greatest day. Paul McGinley is online. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you feeling?
Early morning over here.
What time is it actually?
It's just coming up to 5 a.m. I've got an early flight, so I'm up early.
Oh, thank God for us. How are you feeling?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, thrilled. I mean, it was a great day, not just for Rory, a great day for golf, a great day for sport, a great day for Ireland. To complete the Grand Slam is something really special in our sport, and only two people in 59 years have done it, Tiger Woods and now Rory McIlroy, and that puts him in a completely different stratosphere in terms of where he is in the game of golf and how he's viewed.
I love the fact that you said that the game needed him to win a major again and needed him particularly to win the Masters. Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, the game has been very divided in the last few years. There's been a lot of really poor headlines around golf, and, you know, there's been a lot of grubbiness about money, and some of the players have left and formed a new tour with the Saudis, and then the European Tour is stuck in the middle, and it's been come all about money, and there's not been a lot of positive headlines around golf in the last number of years. And Rory is the standout player in the game. Him and Bryson DeChambeau, probably the two most popular players in the game, but also the two kind of divisive as they were on either sides of the fence over the last couple of years. So it was for me, certainly being Irish, I wanted to see Rory get over the line after all the heartache in particular that he's had in coming close in winning the majors, and the criticism that has come his way, and a lot of it has been unwarranted, because his success in the last 11 years, even though he hasn't won major championships in the game, has been outstanding. I mean, he's won every single major title there is to win around the world, and but because he hasn't won major championships, it's been a stick that he's been hit with regularly and often, and he's also come close and let a few opportunities slip. So see him finally do it in such dramatic style yesterday, it was great. I mean, it was a real pressure valve release, I would say. And we may see him now go on and win a couple again, because it weighed heavily on his shoulders.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be probably easy for him to now continue on winning.
Well, it's never easy. The quality at the top of the game now at the moment, there's a lot of really strong players. But Rory's been having a great season, and you know, many of us in the game did predict that he was closer now than he had been for 11 years to winning one. There had been an evolution of Rory. The last few years, we've seen an evolution. He's becoming a more rounded player technically. He's able to play more shots. And there's also a newfound resilience in him as well, too, and doggedness. And that was displayed really strongly yesterday.
Where do you think that's come from? What do you think was the change in him over these 11 years that finally got him across the line?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, that divisiveness that we had in the game, where Rory was very much on one side, he was on the board of the PGA Tour and very much a defender of the PGA Tour. He stepped aside from that and he removed from that. He said, right, I'm going to focus on my golf, let other people focus on all of this. That was one thing. I think the drive that he's got from letting the US Open slip last year, when he looked like he was going to win and then bogeyed three of the last four holes to lose it. And also, he's been doing a bit of work with Bob Rotella, who's a very successful sports psychologist. And Patrick Harrington has used him during his career, and Shane Lowry does too. And I think he's a wonderful guy, a brilliant sports psychologist who's got an unbelievable track record. And I was delighted to see Rory do some work with it. You know, when you get to the rarefied atmosphere that he was at, you need help to get over the line, particularly when you've been so close and you're able to do it in other tournaments. So there's no doubt that he had an influence, and it's just great. It's great for the game. It's great for Rory, and I'm absolutely thrilled and relieved, I have to say, that those questions are not going to be beaten. When is Rory going to win again? When is he going to win again? We're all fed up listening about that.
And you were very much part of it too, of course, as the Ryder Cup skipper. But Paul McGinley, we let you go. Safe travels home, and enjoy every bit of the celebrations.